Amen. Bible says in our weakness, His strength is made perfect. He will stand by us. Good to see you this morning. I know that hearts are heavy for Brother Ike and his family. And we have to muster up the strength to support him. And boy, what a blessing it is to see you here this morning. Amen. God is good. Isaiah said that He is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So I'm glad that we don't experience anything in this life that He's not familiar with. He's familiar with every bit of it, amen. And what a comfort it is to know that He will stand by us regardless of the situations that we go through. He is good, amen. And I know three things. God always does what He wants to do. He's God, amen. God always does the right thing. Amen. And what God does, He does for our good. Boy, what a comfort that is. Amen. I'm so glad that man is not in control in this world. Man thinks he's in control, but this world is out of control, isn't it? Amen. I mean, I can't hardly watch the news anymore. I get so disgusted because you can see what God predicted exactly coming to pass. Amen, that's true. I'm not going to keep it long. I'm going to have a simple message to kind of help us this morning to deal with what we're having to deal with. But we must pray for Brother Ike and his family. Amen. They need your strength. They need your support. And the best thing in the world you can do is pray for them and do what you're doing right now. Be here and supporting them. And so what a blessing it is to see you here this morning. I know it took strength to muster. I didn't feel like coming, but I came. Amen. Because this is where we should be. Hallelujah. So God bless you. If you're visiting here this morning, feel like we're most all home folks, we thank God for you, and we thank God for this church. Amen. All right, now, we're going to pray when we close the service together. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. Hard to sing all those songs, aren't they, when your heart is heavy? But that's natural. That's not an unnatural thing. Amen. The Bible says to weep with them that weep. Amen. And rejoice with those that rejoice. And so weeping is a good thing. Amen. It helps relieve stress in our part, and it helps comfort those for which we weep. Amen. Thank God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to talk to you about what I call our three homes. Our three homes. Look what he said. Very encouraging. Verse number 1, for we know. Now, what did he say? He said, we think, or we hope so. He said, we know. Amen. There are a lot of things in this world I don't know, but I'm glad we can know this. We know. He didn't say he knew. We know he knows. But thank God we can know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from where? Heaven. If so be that being clothed we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Amen. This life, this body, this house carries a burden, doesn't it? Amen. It does. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying right there. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of what? Life. Not death. Huh? Jesus said, he that believeth in me, he shall never what? Die. That's what he said. Now, the question comes, do we believe what he said, or are we going to believe what the world says? Amen. We leave this world, we have not swallowed up in death, we're swallowed up with life. Now, he that hath wrought for who? Us. For this selfsame thing is the president. The Congress. No, I'd be worried. And I'd really be grieving. No, it's God. Hallelujah. Who hath also given us the earnest of his Spirit. Now, he hasn't left us to wonder about this thing. But instead, he has told us that he has made a down payment on the purchased possession. And that is this earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always, what's that word? Confident. Knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith. And not by sight. What tells you you're walking with God, my friend? Not your sight, it's your faith. Amen. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Hallelujah. Now, before the great housing crash of this so-called recession, statistics said that 61% of Americans owned a home. Amen. Matter of fact, that's a part of what we call the American dream, is it not? To have our own home. And one of the happiest days of our life, this side of eternity, is the day that we pay that last note on our home. Amen. Isn't that right? Yes. Amen. But very few people, and none I know, own three homes. But yet the Bible tells us that we have three homes. Amen. And the first one that we have is our earthly home. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about our residence, excuse me, in the mortal body. That's what he's talking about. Amen. But now, I like to think of it also this way. I have an earthly home. It consists of my wife, my son, a yard full of cats, and one dog. That's my home. That's what it is. That's what I love. And that is what I enjoy. Amen. That is my earthly home. And I expect to reside there. Amen. Until I depart this place. Now, what we need to see about these three homes is this. Every one of them were instituted by God Almighty. Huh? It was God in Genesis 3 that said, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father, amen, and cleave unto his wife. Those two would be one flesh, amen. God instituted the home, and since he did, you know that the devil hates it, amen.
Right.
Huh? Boy, there was a time not too many years ago we talked about the tremendous percentage of divorces there are in our nation. And we mourned over that. I just saw a statistic the other day that tried to bring us good news that said that the number of divorces were down. Now, I could take confidence in that and be happy about that if I didn't know that in this day, very few people marry anymore. They just live together.
Now when you just live together and you separate, there's no record of divorce. And so we're not better off than we were before. In my opinion, we're worse off than what we were before. Now why is that? Not simply because of the carnality of man, but because the devil hates the home. Because the home is the foundation of any nation. And if he can just erode and destroy the home, then, son, he can bring that nation down to the depths of hell. And he's done it in history many, many times in the past. Amen. Now, parents struggle with problem children. I know that, and you know that. We struggle with divorce. And that simply proves that God designed the home and the devil hates it. Now, there's a vast difference between a house and a home. Whenever I said that 61% of Americans owned a home, I really should have said they own a house. Amen. Y'all, excuse me, I've been battling that asthma last week. I read one time about a family that their house burned down, which of course I've been involved in many, many, many times. And the insurance company put them up in a motel until they could get their things situated and they could begin finding or building a new home. And one of the friends came to visit the family and give and to help them, of course. And they looked at the little girl and said, "I'm sorry that you lost your home." And the little girl said, "Well, we've still got a home. We just need a house to put it in." Amen. And so it doesn't matter whether you live in a trailer, a tent, or a two-story house, son. It takes more to have what God's got for us than just a house. Amen. It has to become a home. And that's not dependent upon the building. And that's what breaks my heart so much today. You see, we worked all of our life to get what little we got. We bought a home, back home, that was designed so that as we progressed in life and got a little more money in our hands, we could add to it. But people today, they don't want to be patient with that. They want to buy the big one just to start off with. Amen. And it takes the husband's salary, the wife's salary, and the children picking up 10 cans to pay for it. And because of the struggles and the strifes of finances, many times the house is all right, but the home's in a wreck. Amen. Amen. And so it's not what we dwell in. It should be what dwells in the house that is important. Amen. And the home is a wonderful thing. Amen. Now, our earthly home ought to have three things. Number one, it ought to have love. Huh? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." Amen. Glory to God. You see, we have people today, young people, that are getting together and uniting because of lust, and they never have learned to experience love. You see, here is the difference. Love finds its beginning not with what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. You ever wonder how it is that so many ugly people get married? Now, I see you looking at me and just saying, "Hey, you're getting mighty close to your home. You're right." But you know what it is? They don't see the outside. Amen. I fell in love with the inside of my wife. Amen. And whenever that develops, then the rest of it's just going to fall into place, ain't it? Amen. But you see, this crowd today that has been raised in front of a television ship watching Hollywood and all of the corruption that they've got, then, friend, everything is external. It's what you look like. Amen. It's who you act like that's important to them. And so, two spoiled youngins unite in a marriage and it has no chance of working. Amen. It should have love, not lust. That'll take care of itself, believe you me. It should have loyalty. You ought to be dedicated to your family. Amen. Everything that I've ever worked for, everything that I've ever done, my friend, has been for my family, Now, I'm not saying that I haven't bought myself a few toys along the way, amen. I have. But the point I'm making is this, that anything that threatened my family, I am going to meet head on, amen. And it's going to be dealt with. You know why? I'm dedicated to my family. You want me to tell you why? The Bible says I'm the head of the family. Therefore, I'm responsible for how that family goes, amen. And so I'm determined to stay in my place and love my wife and protect my family and to be loyal to it. I don't need to go out here fishing for no more women, amen. It's too late now. I can't handle it. But anyway, if I was young, I don't need to be doing that, amen. There should be love. There shall be loyalty. And bless your heart, there should be longevity. Oh, one of the blessings of life. One of the blessings. And one of the reasons we moved over here to this church is because of Brother Ike and his wife. They've been together a long time. They've been loyal and they've loved each other a long time. Amen. Do you know, in my opinion, there can be no greater blessing than that. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. What a joy. You don't meet them much more. To find people that have stayed together and kept the marriage together for many, many years. Hallelujah. And you know what? That's where happiness is. Amen. Someone asked a couple that had been together for many, many years, how have you lasted so long together? He said, well, I've always been an outdoorsman. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, when me and my wife first married, we agreed that if we got mad and had a fight with each other, I'd go outdoors. He said, that's where I spent most of my time. But it made the marriage last, and of course, that's just humorous. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with reality. Amen. Yes. God established the home, and that's the first of my three homes. Amen. But I not only have an earthly home, I have a spiritual home. You know what? When we get home this evening or we go down to the restaurant or whatever, we're going to feed this body. Am I right? Yes. Am I too far-fetched there? No, I don't think that I am, amen. We're going to feed this old body. But now where are you going to go to feed your spirit, amen? You're sitting in it. God has given me a home with my family, and He's given me a spiritual home with my brothers and sisters. And that's my family, amen. Boy, 2012 was a bad year. I lost my oldest sister. I lost my youngest brother. I preached both of their funerals. I lost my best friend's dad. And he wanted me to preach his funeral. When I preached my sister's funeral, I never wept or broke down. When I preached my brother's funeral, I never wept or broke down. But boy, when I preached my best friend and daddy's funeral, it just tore me up. He was my church family. And I've known him ever since I got born again. Hallelujah. We have a spiritual home. And just as we're fed in our earthly home, physically, my friend, we're fed in our spiritual home, spiritually, amen. Glory to God. Ain't it good?
Yes.
Now, here's something we need to notice about the spiritual home. It also is established and founded by God Almighty. Matthew, amen, chapter 15. Jesus came to his disciples and he said, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you're Elijah, some say that prophet that Moses talked about, some say you're John the Baptist. He said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Peter, he said, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven.
Son, you don't come to know God by your education, amen. Heaven has to reveal Him to you, glory to God. And where else is that going to be done except in the house of God where His Spirit's working, amen. Yes. Glory to God. And then Jesus said this. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Not the Methodist, not the Baptist. Amen. Not the Catholics, contrary to their doctrine. But upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. So if anybody ever tells you that the church that Jesus established failed, turn and run. Because they don't know what they're talking about. Because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And just as the devil hates our physical home, he hates our spiritual home.
Yes, it is.
And so he works in it to divide and to weaken and to destroy. Amen. And so just as it takes faithfulness and labor to make our earthly home successful, it takes the same thing to make our spiritual home successful. Amen. What a blessing it is to see you this morning. I didn't think a lot of folks would come. I said, well, people are brokenhearted. They probably don't have the strength to come. But glory to God, you did. Amen. And what a blessing it is that you're here with us in this place this morning. And we need to understand, and I hope you know, it's important to have a church spiritual home. Amen. Now, you want me to tell you when you realize the importance of that? When you don't have one. So, you ever get where you don't have any place to go to church that you enjoy and that you can be a part of and that you can work in, then son, you're going to be a miserable person. And then eventually you're going to change from a miserable person into a weak person. Then you're going to change from a weak person to an angry person. Amen. Told you many times, one of the reasons we retired right here where we are is because we wanted to come to this church in our last days. Because I've known Brother Ike ever since I married my wife. I knew what kind of man he was. I knew what he preached. And I knew that, bless your heart, I wanted somebody like that to be my pastor. And that's why I'm here.
Amen.
And not only that, that's why I'm staying here. Amen. I don't plan on going anywhere. Unless, of course, you run me out. And when you try that, I'm going to sick this big boy over here on you. It's important, and we should be involved in it. The sad thing about the church is that everybody else is expecting somebody else to do things. Amen. Amen. And if we all have that same opinion and idea, then so nothing's going to get done, is it? Amen. And so I like to be involved in the church and its work. Now, when I came over here, I didn't want to preach. Still, that's not important to me. And so, when Emily and others asked me about preaching, I said, oh, I'm retired. Now, I didn't say that because I quit preaching. I went and got my hair cut for the first time here a while back by a fella. He got through cutting my hair. You know what he said? He said, you mind if I ask you a question? It's John's friend. I said, no, ask me whatever you want. He said, why did you quit preaching? Well, I didn't know he knew me from anyone else in this world. I said, who told you I quit preaching? He said, well, somebody said something, and I thought you just didn't preach no more. I said, son, I said, I preach out of the prison every Tuesday night. And I said, every time my pastor asks me to preach, I preach. Amen. That's it. But I said that I had retired because I didn't want to preach at that time. And I want to tell you why. Because none of you knew who I was.
And I knew that I was going to have to stick around a while before any of you, amen, would tolerate me. Amen. I'm telling you, when we first came here, it seemed as though people were reluctant to even shake our hand. And I commented to Dan and said, I said, Bonifay is sort of a strange place, ain't it? I said, you kind of have to make people like you, don't you? So anyway, that's the pursuit that we began on. Amen. But I didn't come here not to be involved in the church. And so, friend, I'm here to support my pastor, something I have always done. And if you pick a fight with my pastor, you have picked a fight with me. If you don't like the pastor, find you some pastor you do like. Don't harm my pastor. He's blessing my heart. And son, I'll fight for him. I ain't afraid. I ain't got much to go with, but hey, I can find something. Amen. It's important, and we should be a part of it, and we should be involved, and we should grow day by day spiritually every time that we come here. And we come here so that we can bear each other's burdens in times like this. Amen. Listen, there's nothing happened to any other person that's not going to happen to us. Amen. It's appointed unto man at one time to do what? To die. And so, guess what? If the Lord tarries, that's going to happen, isn't it? Amen. But ain't it good to be able to read this scripture we just read that's said to be absent from this old body is not to be gone, as an evolutionist would have you believe, to not be in some kind of limbo, but he said to be present with the Lord. When my sister was dying, she had a touch of COPD, and as her cancer grew worse, it got harder for her to breathe. And me and her were there today alone one time, and she said, Donnie, she said, I just don't want to choke to death. And I said, Eileen, that's not going to happen to you, dear. I said, you're going to go to sleep one day. And while you're asleep, you won't ever come back to this world. Whenever you open your eyes again, you'll be in that other world. Because God's going to give you dying grace. And that's what happened, amen. And that's what happens to all of God's people, amen. I want you to know something, dear friends. There's coming a day when rather than meeting here in this place or perhaps in that place, we're going to meet in our third home. And that is our heavenly home. Woo! Oh, we sing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Now the sad fact is that most church members live like it is their home, amen. And I thank God for my house, everything that He's given me, but I'm not going to miss none of that when I'm gone. Amen. I purchased it and provided it for my family so they had something when I'm gone. But son, I ain't taking it with me. I don't want to take it with me. Why? I have a heavenly home. Now it consists of two things, and we see it here in this verse that we read. It consists of a body, and it consists of a building. Woo! Glory to God. Now listen, the new building, without the new body, it wouldn't be any good. Because then it would just be a house. It couldn't be that home we're talking about. Amen. But he said these mortal bodies are going to be swallowed up in life. Amen. Glory to God. So guess what? If I leave this world before my wife, she's coming right behind me. I told my sister whenever she was dying, I said, listen, when you open up your eyes at that time, I said, you are going to be met by a whole bunch of people. And you're going to know every one of them. Now, if it's God's will to take Miss Carol on, let me tell you what's going to happen. When she closes her eyes and leaves this world, when she opens them again, Dwight's going to be right there waiting on her and her mama. Now, can you think of anything more glorious than that? I can't, amen. Amen. What a hope we have, amen, for that day.
that whenever we lose this earthly home and leave this spiritual home, we have a heavenly home. Amen. That's what he said about this tabernacle. I'm putting off this one, but I got one that's going to be a whole lot better. Because it's immortal and it is incorruptible, and John said it's going to be just like his. Amen. Jesus didn't have any trouble with gravity. He didn't have a problem with that before he was crucified. But after he was resurrected, he didn't need a key, he didn't need a doorknob, he didn't need a window. He wanted to go in the room, he just went in the room. And that's all we know. I'm sure there's a whole lot more to that body, amen. And that's what he's promised us, amen. He said that this body, this immortal, this mortal body must put off itself and be grab hold of the immortal. This terrestrial must take upon it the celestial, the heavenly body, amen. Oh, son, you can't survive in outer space unless you've got a space suit. You can't survive in heaven in this body, amen. And so that's why Paul said that whenever that happens, we'll all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He said, behold, I show you a mystery, amen. Huh? He said, we're all going to sleep, but he said, don't worry about that. We're going to be changed, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he said this. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know about you, but I went through a whole lot of trouble and paperwork to get my house I'm living in now. Excuse me. And to build mine back home. But son, he said, I'm going to prepare this one for you. And he said, if I'm going to prepare that place, he said, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. So that where I am, ye must be. You will be also. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Hey. Now listen. That's all our destinies right now if we're prepared to meet God. I wish everybody was going to be there, but friend, it's just not going to be that way. Everyone who prepared in this life will have it prepared for them in the next life. Amen. How do you prepare, preacher? Jesus said, come unto him. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any man that's willing to repent of his sins and call upon Jesus' name for salvation, he said he'll receive them. He came unto his own. They received him not, but as many as did receive him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Right. Ooh. And he said, now are we the sons of God? Right now. Now I don't have the body equipped to go along with that title, amen. But it's a coming. Yeah. Glory to God. And if I am buried in a grave, this body's done away with. God's got a new one for me and for you, amen. And if Jesus comes before I finish, we'll be changed. Right. Right. Amen. We're going to take off and be with him. Glory to God. Now, that's just the end of the story. But now, I like books that have a good ending, amen. Don't you? Boy, you'll make me mad. Sit me down to watch some stupid movie and then that thing end crazy. Boy, what in this world? Who in the world was thinking whenever they wrote this screenplay? This is stupid. Amen. But son, I want to tell you something. We've got nothing but good to look forward to. Amen. Why? Because we have an earthly home, amen. We have a spiritual home that's leading us to our heavenly home that he has prepared for us. Oh, glory to God. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? It's a prepared home. But it's a personal home. Now, some people, has anybody ever asked you, Brother Billy, will we know each other in heaven? I've had a lot of people ask me that. And what I want to do, but I don't do, is this. Don't you ever read your Bible? What's wrong with you?
Huh? How would heaven be heaven without my wife and my son there? And I didn't know them. We're wandering around.
Well, now, who are you? I don't believe I know you. Matter of fact, I don't know none of you people. Does that make any sense at all?
Absolutely not. Amen. And part of the joys of heaven is knowing that I will enjoy them with my wife. And I know that the Bible says that there's no marriage there. But son, I'm already married. I ain't got to get married again. But if you think that I'm going to say, well, now it's been nice knowing you, old country girl, but I got other things to do. I'll see you some other time in eternity. No! The Bible says we are what? One flesh. I'm going to enjoy it with her, amen. Ooh, and so in eternity, when we all get ready to leave, if Miss Carol, God chooses for her to depart, when it comes time for Brother Ike to depart, who you think's going to meet him as he enters? It's going to be Miss Carol and Dwight.
Now, I believe that with all my heart.
Whenever Jesus called Peter, James, and John upon the mountain where he was transfigured, the Bible says that Moses and Elijah appeared there with him. And it was plain that Peter knew who they were, but he ain't never met them because they were of a totally different generation.
And so the Bible says we will know even as we are known.
Right.
Boy, I've got an ancestor in my family. And I've been to his old place, and he had a bunch of slaves. I know that's not PC, and that's a horrible, horrible thing, but it was the nature of the day. And if you go see his grave, and I've got a picture of me and my sister there by it, you'll see his house slave buried right by him.
His name was John Dale. And they said that every Sunday he'd line up all of his slaves, and he and all of them would walk to church together. He'd take all of them to church. Woo!
Huh?
Glory to God. You know what?
There are probably some black people in heaven today because they had a master like John Dale. Now, slavery's not a good thing, but God knows how to bring good out of bad things, does he not? Hallelujah.
And so, Fred, I told my sister, because she was a genealogy. I mean, she knew that stuff. I said, just think about it. You've never seen John Dale, but whenever you get to heaven, based upon what he did in his life, he probably going to be there.
I said, you're going to meet him, and you're already going to know him.
Say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I just feel sorry for you, because that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And it brings me comfort to know that. And friend, we can't avoid it, so we've got to deal with it. Amen.
Amen. He said, I go to prepare a place for you.
We sing the song, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. That's about as scriptural as a cheeseburger.
He never said nothing about cabins. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Glory to God.
And he built one just for each one of us. Amen. And my prayer is that I've done something in this life
that has encouraged him to prepare that place for me. Amen. In such a way, it'll be a perfect home.
It's a prepared home. It's a personal home. And it's a perfect home. Whew. Why? Because the Bible says in that day there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sickness.
There will be no more sea. Oh, well, I like the sea. Well, there'll be plenty of rivers. Don't worry about that. Didn't say it wasn't going to be no more water.
I mean, after all, we got to populate and get the people on this ball, amen. So we got to do away with some of that sea.
Amen. It's going to be a perfect place.
Say, preacher, well, I don't know. I just ain't ready to go. Well, turn on the newscast.
You'll be ready to go. Amen.
This thing is so out of control. I called my wife in there the other morning. I was watching the news. I said, guess what was just on that screen? Three people. President Obama, Vladimir Putin, and the Chinese premier. Three characters that the Bible says are going to gather in the last days around Israel. Now let me ask you a question. Who's fussing about Syria right now? Those very three. So don't even try to tell me this Bible's not so. And the reason I watch the news is not to be encouraged, it's to see what I can see happening that this book says was going to happen.
Amen.
Because I can tell you one thing, it is going to happen. It is happening. Jesus told that Pharisees, He said, you can look at the sky and you can tell whether it's going to be fair, whether it's going to rain. But He said, you can't discern the time that you're living in. Amen. And the same thing for us. Amen. He didn't give us details in prophecy because He didn't want us setting dates. But son, He's given us an outline that lets us know, son, things are fixing to happen on this world. And I can't see the future. But I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. If we fire one missile into Syria, we don't know what's going to happen. World War I and II were started by a whole lot less. And so all we need is for Russia to respond, Iran to respond, attacking Israel, and son, it's on. And I hope that trumpet sounds just before it does. Glory! And we're out of here. Amen. But if you don't, bless your heart, I'm going to stand for what I'm standing for now. Why? Because, son, it's worth it to serve God. And He's given me everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness and to live for Him. What a joy that is. That, friend, this is not man's invention, but it's the gift of God that He's given us. Amen. And that ought to comfort our hearts. And I hope it does you this morning. Amen. To know that. Amen. Hallelujah. We may not leave at the same time, but son, we all headed for the same destination. Hallelujah. If you're ready to go, amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I hope you're ready. Amen. Thank you for coming today. I want us to stand, if you will, and let's just join hands around this church. If you've got babies or you're elderly, you can't stand, we'll circle you around. I want to just form a circle of prayer, and we're going to pray for Miss Carol, for Brother Ike, and the family. I love Miss Carol. I hate what she's going through, but my pain and my hurt is for that family. Because she's only got great things to look forward to. Amen? But Brother Ike and the daughters are going to be here without her. And they're going to be in a state of shock and need some support. Amen. Come on, brothers. Y'all get right in here. We'll tighten up. Amen. Glory to God. What a blessing. Come on here. Amen. Y'all just run right on around that way. We'll join up. Now, I know you ain't never done this before, but we used to do it all the time at our church. Amen. We used to do it all the time. Somebody had a special need or a prayer, we all joined hands around them and we prayed. Amen. And that's what we're doing here. God bless you. Thank God for you. Look forward to seeing you in eternity, where time shall be no more and we'll forever be together. How glorious it to be. Amen. And I'm glad to have the opportunity and the privilege to be in a place where we can teach these children about that truth. Amen. Because they're not going to get it from this world. Amen. God bless you for coming. Brother Billy, if you will, pray for us.
Father, we bow our hearts to you today.
Our Father, we know that all it takes, God, is a word from your mouth to raise Miss Carol up. And that's what our selfish desire is, that, Lord, you'd strengthen her and that, God, you'd lift her up. All you've got to say is arise, get up, come forward. Oh, Father, we pray, Father, for her good. Oh, God, Brother Ike is hurting so bad, worse than he's ever hurt, God. He needs the sweet comfort of the Holy Ghost and the strengthening of our Lord and our God. Jesus suffered for us, and he knows what suffering is. He was rejected by his own. And so, our Father, we pray that now you would work in Brother Ike's heart and in that family. Give them, God, the strength, Lord. God, to help them face that which they've got to deal with, God. Thank you for the promise that our Father, one day, we're all going to reunite, God, in that heavenly home, in that wonderful city, God. Oh, we're so glad we can know that and not wonder about it. That our Father, that we can be strengthened by that knowledge and that help, oh God. Bless these people, God. Thank you for the work here that Brother Ike and Miss Carol's worked on so long.
in such a time, God, with discouragement, Father, many troubles. Thank you for their faithfulness, God. Do it, oh God. Yes, God. Lift their spirits, God. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Be not given up, God. It's not over till you say it is, God. So work and be merciful, God. Thank you, Lord. We trust you. We love you because we know, God, that you can trust. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake your neighbor's hand before.